This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. I'm Koo Soo Chuang and I'm with Wong Xiaoning. Now, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin unveiled the Perikatan-led opposition manifesto for Sabah yesterday. Now, the manifesto is a collective effort by Gabungan Rakyat Sabah, the opposition alliance that includes Perikatan, Barisan and Barisan Nasional and Bersatu Sabah. And it's called Aku Janji. The manifesto focuses on reviving Sabah's economy, which Muhyiddin said can only happen if the federal and state governments collaborate.
Now, some of the pledges include Sabah rights, infrastructure, employment, prosperity and health, among others, with promises to implement MA63 rights and solve the state's economic and development woes. But will this opposition manifesto appeal to Sabahans?
Which is exactly what we want to explore with our guest this morning, political scientist Dr. Azmil Tayyab joins us now to explore this manifesto holds any weight with Sabahans. Thanks for joining us, Doc. Now, one of JRS's pledges in this manifesto is to defend Sabah's rights as recorded in MA63, although its exact details are scarce at this point in time. Now, in a once bitten twice shy situation, do you think Sabahans will fall for JRS's MA63 promise this time after what they experienced with previous administrations before?
Good morning. As we can see from the manifesto announced yesterday, it is quite lacking in details. And the reason for that is that there is a serious gap between the manifesto itself, the promises, and the implementation. So, as you know, promises sound good. They're attractive, you know, but the devil, as you say, is in the details. So, I think for Sabahans, it's the same promise that they have heard for many, many years, and there have been barely any changes in their lives. Sabah remains one of the poorest, or if not the poorest, state in Malaysia. So it's the same promises being made, but you know, the same promises were not fulfilled over the years. So it's difficult to see how this is going to be any different from the promises that have been made in the past.
And Doctor, you know, the GRS Alliance's manifesto also includes establishing the Sabah Petroleum Council and the promise to narrow the economic gap between Sabah and other states. Now, like you mentioned, you know, a lot of promises in the past, but not much delivery. Do you think this time it will be any different?
Yes, the petroleum issue is definitely a thorn in the side for the federal government when it comes to Sabah, Sarawak, and Terengganu, and also to a lesser extent Kelantan. But it's you know, going back to what I mentioned earlier, you know, 20% of petroleum royalty is attractive. It makes for a good soundbite. It makes for a good manifesto. But in reality, the implementation is not financially viable. Because we can look at the math, I think there are quite a few articles have been written about this as well. 20% is simply not financially viable, especially with the oil prices, the depressed oil prices that we see right now. So the establishment of the Petroleum Council, I think it's a good idea, on paper at least, because it is a way to find alternatives to the 20% petroleum royalty, because Sabah definitely deserves more than what it has contributed to the Malaysian economy over the years. And it's a way of injecting more fund into the state coffers. So I think it's a good idea to find alternatives on how Sabah can maximize, you know, its receipts of the oil and gas that it has produced over the years. So I think it's good to have a council to to brainstorm and to come up with alternatives, you know. But to me, as I said, you know, what we have seen that so I think and even before this is the 20% figure for oil royalty, which is as Dr. Mahathir has stated when during his Pakatan Harapan government before, that it is not financially feasible, because I mean Pakatan Harapan also made the same promise in its manifesto and then later on realized that it is not financially feasible. So I think that one is dead on the water. So so other alternatives have to be found, and then I think Petroleum Council is a good start for that effort.
Yeah, well, petrol rights being one thing, infrastructure, employment, prosperity, health being others, including other items as well. Which issue do you think most resonates with Sabahans at this point in time, Dr. Asmil?
Definitely the development issue. I think that we can see the public uproar in the Viviona issue, and because it points the you know, to the serious deficiency in infrastructure and development in Sabah, you know, symbolized by, you know, this young university student. So I think, you know, it draws attention to what every Sabahans has known, you know, especially when in comparison to the peninsula. So I think that's actually going to be the topmost issue for Sabahans, the lack of investment of federal government in Sabah. So why is this happening, even though Sabah was part of the federal government, Sabahan parties was part of the federal government for many years. So I think this is the question that Sabahans will answer, and will question the end, you know. So what difference will it make if it decides to choose the PN government in the next election, in the upcoming election? And also, this is something that the presumptive chief minister of Sabah, Shafiq Abdal, has to answer as well, because, you know, how can Shafiq Abdal, you know, Warisan Plus, can provide, you know, this development and improvement infrastructure when it's not part of the federal government? So these are, you know, the topmost issue in the upcoming election.
And Dr. Asmil, just looking very broadly at GRS, can you make of UMNO President Datuk Sri Zahid maintaining that the party who wins the most seat should get to decide who is the chief minister?
Yeah, I think it is, you know, it's a symptom of the larger disease that has been festering, I guess, we are within the Muafakat National for quite some time now. We can see the rift between the PN government and UMNO. UMNO forcing the issue and flexing its electoral muscle. And we can see this is happening in Sabah as well. And then also for the longest time, Sabah UMNO has been very dominant. Shafiq Abdal, you know, who he was, you know, part of Sabah UMNO for the longest time. So, and UMNO feels that, you know, it is strong, you know, it is quite dominant in Sabah. So it is natural that, you know, to see UMNO exerting, you know, its dominance in this, you know, and Bersatu and, you know, doesn't really have much presence in Sabah, doesn't have much history in Sabah. So it's, you know, to me it's natural to see how UMNO is, you know, trying to exert its influence.
Okay. Well, thank you ever so much. That was political scientist Dr. Azmil Tayyab talking about the upcoming Sabah elections and the issues therein. Next is I Fought the Law by The Clash, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.